Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, architecture and engineering for the new frontier.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Alaska Live here in the KUAC studios. I'm your host, Lori Neufeld. It is my pleasure to welcome back to KUAC's Alaska Live, Hot Club of Cowtown. All right, what are we kicking off the show with? Let's just kick it off with a tune, because I know everybody wants to hear this trio.
I thought we'd pick it up where we left off. So
Yeah, thanks for having us back, Lori.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do it.
Ida Red, I'm plumb fool about Ida Red. Ida Red, I'm plumb fool about Ida Red.
On the mantel, so it's getting late. The curtains on the window, snowy white. The party's pleasant on a Sunday night.
Ida Red, I'm plumb full of Ida Red. Ida Red, I'm plumb full of Ida Red.
Pictures on the wall, there's a pretty sofa, and that's not all. I'm not mistaken, I'm sure I'm right. Somebody else in the party tonight.
Ida Red, I'm plumb full of Ida Red. Ida Red, I'm plumb full of Ida Red.
Set me free. She grew so old, her head got bald. The girl knows she had to die at all.
Ida Red, I'm plumb full of Ida Red. Ida Red, I'm plumb full of Ida Red.
Western Swing from Hot Club of Cowtown, and they are live here at the KUAC studios for Alaska Live. Welcome back to Fairbanks.
Thank you.
I don't know, maybe your fifth time, possibly, maybe more.
Ooh, really? I don't know if it's been that many, but I can tell you it's our first winter visit for sure.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
I had no idea that you had not graced us with your presence in the winter.
Well, it was so amazing.
Yeah.
With the sky last night, and then we took a picture with the moose at the airport last night when we got here.
Okay, yeah. So
very important.
Maybe the moose wasn't walking at that point, but...
it was the indoor permanent moose with the yellow flowers.
Indoor permanent moose.
They told us he was hibernating.
which everybody knows they do at the airport only.
Right. Exactly. It's great to be back. We love it here.
Well, Lana, tell me about your show tonight real quick. It's at 7:30 at Davis Concert Hall, and you're playing with Dust Bowl Revival.
Yes, it's a really cool show. We're doing a whole bunch of dates with them in the spring, and this is actually the first week of the tour, our first Alaska date. And it's actually the whole show is kind of about the 50th anniversary of the music of the band. And they released two records in 1968 and 1969. Sorry, trivia people, if I'm off by which one. But anyway, music from Big Pink.
What's behind you?
And the band. Whit will correct me. And so what we did for the sort of the theme of this evening of the show is that we do some tunes of the band and Dust Bowl does some tunes and we do some songs together. And then we do like our own songs as well. But it's kind of our own reinterpretations of some of those cool masterpieces from some of those records. And for people who, you know, are familiar with the Hot Club of Cowtown, that's certainly not something that we generally dwell in, you know, but we thought we would, you know, rise to the challenge and examine something that's much more recent than a lot of the stuff that we are known for. We kind of generally play 30s stuff and stuff from the 1940s and our own original stuff, but things from 1968 are... That's pretty modern.
That's pretty modern for Hot Club Cowtown.
Yes, yeah.
Because, yeah, you're into that vintage hot jazz, the hot club scene with the Western swing thrown in there,
in
too.
Our way, yeah.
And yeah, so yeah, the band definitely gets you into almost modern day. Almost. No, it's the 50th anniversary of the band that we're celebrating.
Isn't that funny? Because a lot of music sort of evolved really quickly, but rock and roll was here to stay. And it just, you know, I mean, it's evolved, you know,
yeah,
subtly. But
yeah.
And actually, Western swing, you could even make the debate, is like the original platform for rock and roll, because it's where a lot of the electric instruments first started being used and things.
And Whit, you're playing a hybrid of an electric acoustic, right?
Yeah, it's sort of how they would have done it in the 30s or 40s.
Yeah.
Just get an acoustic archtop guitar and stick a pickup on it.
Nice.
And pray for electricity.
Well, we've got the electricity now, so we should hear another tune from Hot Club of Cowtown.
You want to do a band tune?
Yeah, I want to do When You Wake.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right, this is one we're going to do.
When you awake, you will remember everything. You will be hanging on a string from your when you believe. You will relieve the only soul that you were born with to grow old and never know.
Holy told me I'm a fool, so I walked on down the road a mile. Went to the house that brings a smile, sat upon my grandpa's knee. What do you think that he said to me?
When you awake, you will remember everything. You will be hanging on a string from your when you believe. You will relieve the only soul that you were born with to grow old and never know.
All he showed me, the fork in the road, you could take to the left or go straight to the right. Use your days and save your nights. Care for where you step and watch what you eat. Sleep with the light and you got it beat.
When you awake, you will remember everything. You will be hanging on a string from your when you believe. You will relieve the only soul that you were born with to grow old and never.
It's a mean old world. The street don't greet you, yes, it's true. What am I supposed to do? Read the writing on the wall. I heard it when I was very small.
When you awake, you will remember everything. You will be hanging on a string from your when you believe. You will relieve the only soul that you were born with to grow old and never.
Wash my hands in my water. I got a day with the captain's daughter. You can go and tell your brother. We sure gonna love one another. I may be right and I might be wrong. I ain't gonna worry all night long. boss gonna buy. My old car froze up last night. Ain't no reason to hang my head. I could wake up in the morning dead. If I thought it would do any good, stand on the rock where Moses stood.
Three-part harmonies in Hot Club of Cowtown just shine with those songs. It's just gorgeous.
Thank you, Robbie Robertson.
That was Alana, actually. Yep. When they originally said, "This, we're going to put this package together where you're going to play music from the 60s, and I was kind of taken aback. I mean, I liked that music fine. Yeah. It wasn't like you had to learn something you didn't like, but it was a totally foreign idea to my mind. And a few months went by, and I didn't do any work at all. And I was hoping it would go away.
Uh-huh.
And Alana actually took it upon herself to come up with all the vocal arrangements, arranged everybody's part, and we started rehearsing. And then I got really excited about it. I thought it sounded good.
Aww.
And so here we are.
I used my bow
getting her done.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think that some of those tendencies run strong in Whit. I don't know, buried in his bio somewhere is you were living with your grandma, I understand, and you were supposed to be practicing. Hey, it's on the web. I read it out in public on that World Wide Web. You're living with your grandma and taking jazz lessons that maybe she was paying for, not sure, but... supposed to be practicing, and finish the story for us. You're supposed to be practicing your jazz guitar.
In the days of cassette recorders, I would make a cassette, which originally I would play along with, and then I realized that it sounded like I was playing guitar upstairs in the attic, which where I was sequestered. So I'd just run the tape, and then I'd go, you know, read or take a nap or something, and she'd think I was practicing, and because she was, you know, she was an old timer, you know, born in 1904, and it was. I'm going to pay for these lessons. You're going to practice. But my idea of practicing was to shred for an hour, and then I was done for the day. So yeah, I ran the tape.
Ran the tape of the scales.
Scales and shredding and chord progression and bossa nova and whatever the teacher had given me. And I wish if I had practiced, I'd have been a lot better, a lot, you know. But here we go, live and learn.
Well, live and learn. But, you know, you have been practicing the parts that Alana wrote for you, too. So... all good. You know, you did learn that practice does make you perfect.
Absolutely. Yes, I am. I subscribe to that now.
Oh, your dear grandma paying for jazz lessons. I love that story. So sorry to bring up
that. She gave me $1.25 to get something to eat or drink, which would basically buy one pint of Tropicana orange juice. So that's all I had for lunch when I would go into the city.
So let me play a sad song.
I was born a poor boy. So anyway, I would leave the shtetl on a train. One time I lost my ticket, and it was really embarrassing to try to convince the conductor that I had no money, I had nothing, and I'd lost my only ticket, and all the commuters were staring at me like I was some pariah.
And you had no shoes.
I have no shoes.
And the stairs went, up both ways.
Both ways.
I love how we're promoting the show.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to...
You have practiced for the show, yes. Speaking of the show, though, you will have your newest release there, and your newest release is an EP of songs from the band. Is that last song on that newest release?
Yeah, we put them all together on one little special edition thing. We've never really done that before, create a little... it's not little, it's neat, it's really neat. We definitely kind of suffered over it, but especially out just for these tour dates, and of course anyone can buy it at any time, but just came out last week.
Yeah, but you can get it signed by yes. Hot Club of Cowtown.
Yes.
The newest release, the EP, Across the Great Divide, tonight at the show.
That's right.
And you play on the Davis Concert Hall stage. That starts at 7:30.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
We better play some music.
Yes, you do. Up next is what song?
Yeah, what do you got?
Why don't you do one of your originals?
You want me to do one?
Sure.
Aw.
Okay. You want to do High Up on the Mountain, or you want to do...
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Here's one. We probably will do this one tonight. And I got my Montana sweatshirt. I need to get an Alaska sweatshirt so I can wear this next time I go to Montana. But I wrote this in Montana a couple of years ago out in the Bob Marshall Wilderness, which is a beautiful, huge area in the middle of the state that's like a sacred place. And I wrote on a pack trip, and it's called High Upon the Mountain.
Have a little encore with it. It's like, oh, Oh, yeah, there's more.
Do you? I have worried over that, whether it's too jarring or if it's mean to people. Do you feel that it's mean?
No, okay, good. No, I think that song has an encore to it, you know? We're cheering, and then there's a little encore, a little piece left that we get to enjoy. So, Alana, you said you sometimes agonize over how to end a song. Yeah, I bet.
I do, sure.
You know, you can go by kind of what's been done in the past. You know, those are classic endings of, oh, a little pickup at the end there. Or you can end with a big flourish.
Yes, yes.
Or you can end by slamming into a tree.
Oh!
I agonize over playing the song in the first place, I think. But
right.
Once it's over, I'm like, whew.
Whew, it's there. We made it.
It's like a gymnastics routine. A lot of the time, it's a picture like, you know, them landing when they do that thing. That's the ideal feeling at the end of the song. Like, you finish the routine and you, like, nailed that landing, you know.
Stick off the landing,
The pommel horse or whatever.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Horse.
Yes.
There's so much leading up to that moment.
Right.
So, you know, the preparation and all the mental anguish.
So there is a lot of mental anguish.
You guys have been doing these for 21 years now. Hot Club of Cowtown is in its 21st year, and I think that's just wonderful. And that seems impossible to me because it seems like just yesterday I was discovering you as my new favorite band at Winfield Bluegrass Festival.
Oh my gosh.
In Kansas.
Yeah.
You know, and did you play in your first year of a band at that festival?
Are we still your new favorite band?
You were 12.
I hope so.
Yeah, right.
You know, I don't remember what year we first played Winfield, and it's certainly right around that time, within 2 or 3 years of starting out, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And you really took that festival. People were talking about you all over and saying, oh, have you seen this new band, Hot Club of Cowtown? And people are still talking about you because I know that there are probably very few tickets left for tonight's show because of Hot Club of Cowtown and Dust Bowl Revival tonight. How does a show like Dust Bowl Revival and Hot Club of Cowtown doing the 50th anniversary of the band music, how does that come about? How do you envision that that tour? Whose idea?
Whose idea? It was my boyfriend's idea. Actually, it really was.
Nice.
He also is our agent, and he is a music lover. He is he's like a walking encyclopedia. I often tell him it's too bad he's not with somebody who's in the music industry who can appreciate all the information that he actually has, because he's like an expert. I tend to focus on pre World War II stuff. Not that I don't know much about anything, but I know the least less about that, you know. And then he's really like somebody who knows a lot about sort of post-World War II jazz and blues and stuff, and he loves the band. And and also just from a touring perspective, we've noticed over the years that we've just been touring as like Hot Club of Cowtown, an evening with the Hot Club of Cowtown, come see the Hot Club of Cowtown. But in fact, it's nice when you can theme a show. People have an understanding of what their evening is going to be about. How is this show going to be different from the other 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 Hot Club of Cowtowns that we've seen or will hope to come see again? And it's neat. So it's given us a chance to focus. But I have to give credit where credit is due. And he did come up with the idea, and it's a great idea.
Yeah, it really is. And Dust Bowl Revival was probably all about it, too, because they're a band that has horns and drums, and they fill a stage with a lot of sound, as you do, too, with just three of you. But they've got a lot of members, too.
And they make it look so easy, too. I just sit there and watch them. It just looks like they just kind of strolled out there and everything just kind of happens, which maybe it does. But to my mind, usually there's some modicum of work that goes into it, but they don't show it.
Is tonight the very first night of this particular tour across the Great Divide, or you've been doing it
already? We started it in the Seattle area. We started in Vancouver, BC, and then we did Kirkland, Washington. And we have 2 Alaska dates, which are so fantastic. And then we finished this week in Kirkland. No.
We did one in San Francisco in the summer.
We're ending in Tacoma.
Oh, great.
Yeah, one in San Francisco. That one was really just showed us how much we needed to work before the tour actually started.
It was the warm-up.
That was the solution for that one.
It was a dress rehearsal in front of the public. That's okay. But people love that.
Gotta do it.
Well, let's hear another tune, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the tour and music.
Not so much. Which one? What do you have?
The one you read there, Hoss.
Oh, we might hear one of Whit Smith, the guitarist, soon.
Okay, I'll do that.
wouldn't mind doing that, but I don't know. We can.
We can do that. It's up to me.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. For the studio audience, I sing kind of quiet, so I'll do my best, but the microphone is my friend on this one.
It is.
This is what happens. Well, let's just find out.
All right.
One, two. One, two, three, four. Covers, turn out the light, kiss me on the cheek and say, heard Tony chop chop, got away, the window must stay open, touch it little boy, if you're still here in the morning, I'll buy you a brand new toy. I don't know what Jack saw in you, the old man wouldn't see the truth, he didn't want us in the deals, you ground up dirt and put it in our meal, there was method in the madness, you're slippery as an eel. You're a family epidemic, I don't like how it feels. You're the toast of the town with neighbors around, you're the cool one. You're a chameleon, and I'm waiting for the change. When you come up for air with a 100-yard stare coming undone, this party is no fun. You've lost hold of the reins, the time has passed, I've moved on. Made up my mind to forget the wrong. Life is sweeter when you share. Even strangers show they care. I buried the hatchet, it stops with me. Hate caused plenty, love would have been free. Change when you come up for air, the 100-yard stare coming undone. This party is no fun. You've lost hold of the reins. The time has passed, I've moved on. Made up my mind to forget the wrong. Life is sweeter when you share. Even strangers show the care. I've buried the hatchet, it stops with me. Hate cost plenty, love would have been free. Hate cost plenty, love would have been free.
Club of Cowtown here on KUAC's Alaska Live. Whit Smith, I know that song is probably not on your newest release, Nature of the Strings, because that one is an instrumental, all instrumental release.
Oh, thanks for mentioning that, yeah.
And I do love it because I've been playing the heck out of it on Round Midnight because it's just such a good lead in to a bunch of, you know, Americana. It can be jazz, it can be all around just really wonderful music to lead into a show with. So,
well,
good job.
You're my new favorite person. Thank you.
No, you. have you recorded that song on a Hot Club of Cowtown CD, that very song you just played?
Yeah, we recorded that on the Ghost Train.
Yeah.
It showed up on our greatest hits, as it were, as well. But yeah, we made that record in maybe 2004. Is that about right? 2003 with Griff Morlicks.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah, we've got it here at the station. That's a great release. Yeah. Jake, you are one of the best slap bass players we've had here at the studio. And dang, you know, Lee Rocker did come in, but he already had his pompadour all set. And so he didn't play. He just played that night, but he did an interview.
Wow,
and so,
wow.
Yeah, it is true.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And he wore his headphones back around the back of his head.
Right.
So he did not destroy
yeah,
any of the hairdo pompadour
yes,
thing
right,
going on
exactly.
for the night's show.
Very important.
I was going to do that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, for the radio audience, Lori. They all have done their pompadours upright.
Yes, I know. I know they have. I'm confident. No, thanks a lot. I love this style. I love playing this early traditional style of bass. There aren't enough players that still practice this discipline.
Yeah.
It's kind of a strange thing. It's like going to the freak show and watching the guy put the bowling ball in his mouth. You know, it's like
how does he do that?
Yeah. What's going on there?
Yeah.
And
you travel with this bass. It's one of those that, you know, the neck shrinks down into the body, which I think is
yeah,
really impressive.
Yeah, it's a Frankenstein.
Yeah.
It's amazing that it works as well as it does. It shouldn't work as well as it does.
A lot of tension on that with the strings.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of punishment, that's for sure.
And you're one of the youngest members that was inducted into the Texas Music Western Swing Hall of Fame. And, well, you know, that's really cool. How did you end up being part of Hot Club of Cowtown? Because I think from what I know, it was Alana and Whit that started the band.
Yeah.
Met them at a bowling alley.
Speaking of bowling balls, bowling alley.
No, I just met them in Austin, just kind of through the music scene, roots music scene. There's a lot of great different kinds of music there, you know, like all kinds of early roots music, and then tons of everything, hip-hop, I mean, contemporary rock and roll, anything you can imagine. Austin's just a great town for arts, as a lot of people know, and food and film and all that stuff. So
really specialize there in Austin, because you can find your niche in this, we're Western Swing focusing on this, and then branch out a little bit later.
There's enough like population there that a lot of people support a lot of different things, and there's a lot of places to play. Like you can get out and play grocery stores on a weekend, you know, like lots
right.
of places have live music all the time. So it just encourages, it really raises the bar, the musicians that are there.
Did they steal you out of another band?
No, I mean, I had met them on the road traveling. I was playing with other bands before joining these guys, and a buddy of mine had played with them for a couple years before I came on board, and it was just the right timing and a good fit.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Something about Hot Club of Cowtown that I really also love is we don't have to say you're an original member and that being any different from the rest of them. You know, you're all original members and it's been the same trio from day one. And I think that that's really cool about your band.
Thank you.
You don't see that every day.
No.
Probably not.
Separate hotel rooms.
Yeah, well, that's important.
The secret,
You got to get away every once in a while. When you travel on the plane, or does somebody have to sit in the middle seat?
No. We
don't even sit near each other on the plane. Are you kidding? No.
They
good
always
plan.
Think there's some riff tiff going on when we check in. Like we can't put you together. We're like, that's good.
That's great.
Same with hotels. They always feel a need to put us all together.
Nope.
Yeah, you're okay. I mean, you all... y'all are on stage together, you're backstage together, you practice, you record together, and so you got to have a little bit of
it. Yeah. There are a lot of ensembles. I mean, you hear the scuttlebutt behind the scenes over the decades in the in the long, shallow halls of the sewer of the music business, as Hunter S. Thompson calls it. But a lot of people, I mean, we're like super friendly with each other compared to a lot of acts that just, you know, they fly in on separate flights and they don't even speak until they like get on stage and stuff. We haven't reached that point yet. Hopefully that doesn't lie ahead for us.
That carries over to your audience too, because the audience feels like you're instantly friends with you because you seem like you're friends on stage already and it's not an act. It doesn't just seem like you are, you know? And so you bring the audience in.
Yeah, for sure.
We do talk a lot, though. I find that we do talk, like when we drive around and stuff. We usually have a lot to say for like the first hour, and then it's like silence for 3 weeks. But We do. It's like the same. We do have conversations, though, with each other. And in some sense, I think the show is like a version of that conversation in a way, you know.
Oh.
That's my. Nice.
Yeah. Whether it's a musical conversation or if it's a back and forth, kind of like it is here on Alaska Live. With the, yeah. Were you listening to a lot of the band music prior to this tour when you were driving around so you could decide which songs you wanted to cover? Or how did you decide what songs you wanted to cover on the tour and which ones you wanted to put on that EP?
Well, I think I picked most of them personally because...
Because they weren't doing their homework. The guys just weren't doing their homework.
Well, I don't know. I just thought it needed to be done. And so there were some songs that I just listened to those two albums a lot and thought that there were some songs that maybe allowed, that had more a trio format could work for them instead of, you know, like Despel does songs that I think are more, they're bigger sound, more rocking in a sense. And so I picked the songs that I thought were maybe more manageable groove-wise and in our wheelhouse. But one of them, though, you know, had this brief moment where I got to be in Bob Dylan's touring band and in like 2005 for like a couple months. It was so fun. And anyway, we did one of the songs that's on one of those records, This Wheel's on Fire, that he wrote. And I love that song. And so I was happy to see it was on one of these albums. And I always enjoyed playing it with him. So I picked that because, you know. We could do it our way.
Yeah. You know? You didn't have to do it Bob Dylan's way anymore.
Or in
you
his
mean.
Key. Right, exactly. Yeah. So that was how we got to that one. But yeah, just kind of picked the ones that we thought we could pull off on stage and enjoy doing authentically, you know, kind of connect with.
And it's really cool that you did tour with Bob Dylan. He was part of the band, of course. And so there's some great connections in your musical past to culminating into this EP, Across the Great Divide, that you have out. And
it's actually called Crossing the Great Divide. But yes,
yeah,
it's a
the
subtle
band's,
distinction.
The one is Across the Great Divide, and yours is called Crossing the Great Divide.
I'm just saying. Just,
I know.
Okay, yeah.
No. Because if we're going to Google it, we're going to get to yours that way. And Wheels on Fire is on there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Are you going to do that tune here on Alaska Live?
I don't know. Do you want us to?
I don't know. Would you? It's that's one of my favorite
ones. You like
ones
that one?
On
I do.
Yeah, it's really good.
I really like the second chord on it. I used to look forward to that like all night long and, you know, to just like, I think it's like a beat. Is it a beat diminished? I don't know. I really like it.
Too diminished.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see if we can.
All right.
Just notify my next of kin.
serves you well. You'll remember that you're the one that called on them to call on me to get you your favors done. And if every plan had failed and there was nothing more to tell, you know that we shall meet again if your memory serves you well.
Wheels on fire, rolling down the road. Just notify my next of kin, this wheel shall explode.
Oh man, explosions and a fiery end with the fiddle reminds me a little bit of, you know, my dad's favorite Orange Blossom special that you really, so maybe next time he can shout out Wheels on Fire.
Exactly. That's right.
That was a really good version of that song and unique. I've never heard it done like that. And so, yeah, very nice.
Thank you. That's cool. That's nice to hear.
Do you think Bob Dylan has discovered your version yet?
Well, we send him a copy. I mean, we always send him our records, and then he weighs in. Sometimes, yeah.
Oh, does he weigh in? Because I hear it's hard to hear back from him sometimes.
I don't know.
Respond.
Yeah, he's been very encouraging. I mean, we had some very good tours with him as this band or as myself or whatever. And, you know, he's been a very encouraging presence in a way that also lent me, I think, the confidence to do this tour. It's like, because, you know, the band was his band. Of course,
yeah.
they were the Hawks, and then they became his band, and they did their own thing for a while, obviously, in Woodstock and stuff. And then the last waltz was when they broke up. But I think it gave me, like, a little bit more, like, a sense of street cred or confidence, because it's like, okay, well, I have toured with him, and I know some things about the way things, you know, are interpreted or done or felt or I don't know. It's better than if I'd never, ever been on on stage or in that environment at all. So that lent me some kind of misplaced confidence, I suppose you could say, to pursue
well,
these songs.
Yeah, Bob Dylan, and that was the band, was his band, and that was the one that people were booing because he was moving from folk music to more
right.
plugged in. And yeah, so he had some confidence to go the way he wanted to go.
Yeah, totally.
With the band,
right.
Yeah.
That's a great thing to learn from him, too, you know? Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, when people think of Hot Club of Cowtown, they think of, oh, we're going to go see that gypsy jazz band, or we're going to go see that Western swing band, and this is going to be a little different tonight, but still, same members, same talent, yet done in a different way.
Thank you, Laura, yes.
Oh. Yeah. And, Jake, you were probably, I don't know, do you remember hearing Bob Wills for the first time when you grew up in, Tulsa, right?
I grew up in Tulsa, so that's kind of Tulsa was where Bob Wills relocated his band after running into some promotional problems and legal problems down in Texas. But also they had like a great place to play Kane's Ballroom, Kane's Academy of Dancing. And a great radio broadcast out of there. And so it was always kind of in the background as a little kid. I didn't really come back around to it until I was in my probably early 20s or something like that. But my grandparents always talked about Bob Wills. And my great-grandparents used to, you know, ride up into Tulsa and see Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys in the 1930s. And so, yeah, it was always kind of there. And I think it was sort of waiting for me because it took me a while. I had to go through different music to sort of rediscover roots music. I was really into
you had to go through the rock and roll stage.
Yeah,
I
of
bet.
Course.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And, I liked a lot of punk rock when I was in high school, and then I started hearing some of those bands were really drawing heavily from earlier rock and roll, and real like kind of, you know, down gut bucket blues and greasy R&B and stuff like that. Yeah. And that's what kind of led me down this rabbit hole of Western swing and gypsy jazz and all that good stuff. So.
And so now it's not a stretch to, you know, play music from the band and music of Big Pink, you know, that album and stuff. But
yeah, it's all related, yeah. Definitely. And those guys were drawing heavily also. They were drawing heavily on, you know, early folk influences, yeah. and some sort of country and sort of Western influences that they were sort of blending into their folk rock, you know, kind of sound, mm-hmm. for sure. So.
Yeah. And here you get to use, you know, you get to bow the bass and slap, and that's nice. It's just good,
yeah.
sound.
Yeah. I just, can I say, just that, speaking of like where this music came from for like each of us, because I loved that Jake's great grandparents like rode to Kane's ballroom. I mean, like my great grandparents were like in the shtetl in the Russia, Poland at the time. But I just, when I started to get into this kind of music, I didn't grow up playing it, but after college, I went to India and studied Indian music with this guy because I was really into Indian music, and we were learning, like, he was teaching me this kind of old school traditional North Indian classical music called Drupad, and I loved to do that, and we would do these, like, devotional hymns and stuff like that. But what he really always would ask me to play on my viola was, he would be like, American Geet, which is like, Geet is the Hindi word for music. And I would play like a hoedown for him wherever we might be on some like crazy picnic with these like, you know, Hindu renunciates in a forest glade. And I'd play like, you know, Bilum Cabbage Down. And he loved that so much. And after I came back, I was like, you know, I could either be like a person who pursues trying to play an obscure style of North Indian classical music, even though I grew up in Prairie Village, Kansas, or I could do what maybe is closer to what I come from, like, you know, Kansas, traditional fiddle, you know, Winfield, yeah. North America. And so but his enthusiasm for that kind of music as someone from way over in, you know, the eastern edge of India was so sweet.
Have you been back there since? Because what if they're still playing that song and, you know,
yeah,
just
it's become a new rag. No. Yeah. I have been back, but no.
You haven't found a small jam in somebody's living room, and you can hear.
We'd love,
you know,
to go. We've never played in India as this trio. I hope we do at some point. But yeah,
is your teacher still there?
No,
is he still with us?
He's like
out in the universe somewhere.
Checking us out from the cosmos. Yeah,
great. Yeah. Well, what made you want to go to India? Were you in Kansas at the time?
No.
And okay.
Yeah, we don't have to die.
All right. Gotcha. All right. Yeah.
I studied like comparative religion in college, and I was really, I've always been into India and Indian religion and Buddhism and stuff. So I just was studying a lot of that in college, and a lot of my professors had connections over there. So I went and did that for a while.
And having music as a hobby, but professional too, you're like, oh, I'm totally taking that too with me.
It was more like I just had to get out of New York, and I wasn't going to work as an investment, you know, like at McKinsey or some horrible. I just thought, bye bye. I'm going to go.
You just never know.
No.
You just never know. Yeah.
But here we are. Right?
Here we are in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Yeah.
KUAC's Alaska Live, and telling stories of, wow, where we came from and where we're going.
Ooh.
And tonight you'll be on the Davis Concert Hall stage as Across the Great Divide. It's the Dust Bowl Revival and Hot Club of Cowtown. And oh boy, doing music of the band and your originals also. So fun. What's next? Let's see.
You want to, should we pursue this?
Whatever you want.
From the song, or should we give them some Western swing kind of thing?
We aren't going to do that.
Temptations to play things we're not going to play.
Yeah, of course. That's good, too, because I think people love this trio so much that...
Whatever you want.
Three little words.
Okay.
This was... I don't know that a Western swing band ever recorded this, but it was certainly Paul Whiteman, who was the biggest band you could have in the 20s and 30s, and a big influence, and the Hot Club of France played it, and Bing Crosby sang it, and just it seems appropriate, so we've put the Hot Club of Cowtown touch to it. It's called Three Little Words.
This is like psychedelic rock and roll from the 1920s.
There you go.
One, two,
excellent.
One, two, three.
to hear those three little words. That's all I live for the rest of my day. And what I feel in my heart, they tell sincerely. No other words can tell it half so clearly. Three little words, eight little letters that simply mean I love you.
Nice choice. That was really, your harmonies are so fun and they are unchanged with whatever song you're doing, whether it's a traditional or standard or one of your originals or the band, the cover, you know, a cover of the band song. It's just, wow, your harmonies are always spot on.
That's what made me feel, start to believe in we could do it, this project, is after I heard Alana, you know, she put all that work together and we started to sing and it sounded like us. Mm-hmm. Didn't have to worry about some kind of reinterpretation that was seeming just impossible.
Yeah, because there's no way you are going to sound like Bob Dylan or Lee Von Helm or Robbie Robertson or any of them. You're going to sound like you guys.
Yeah, and if you take, and like I was kind of thinking from a guitar point of view, like rhythmically, you know, how do you make it swing? But it doesn't have to do that, you know,
yeah.
And the personality is immediately, you know, you identify it just by the singing. And then
yeah.
the style, everything's just taken care of in the singing. So just that's what happened.
Are you going back to your roots of rock and roll too? I mean, because a lot of guitarists start out playing some rock and roll.
I fully, yes, baptized in the school of rock and roll. Absolutely. Jimmy Page and Keith Richards are my first and foremost influences.
Nice. Skipping some school to band for band practice? No, no.
Yes. Yes.
Hiding out in the garage.
I actually was part of a program called the Alternative Learning Group. This is in the 70s. And that's all I did. I could skip class and go to this room and play guitar all day. And I don't know how to explain myself. That's what I did. And I didn't get any grades that year. And I didn't get... And the next year, I was out of school. But that's what I did for a year. It's high school. I don't encourage anyone to follow that path, but that's what happened.
It was school sanctioned, though. You showed up at the building every day.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... it was still in its earliest stages, and they didn't know quite what to do with me.
Yeah.
But I did not take math or English or science, which shows all the time, but...
Well, thank goodness for your learning the history of jazz and really immersing yourself in that, because now you've got it.
I found my path anyway.
You found your path anyway. Well, I think it is time to almost say goodbye to Hot Club of Cowtown, but we'll see you tonight. And if you want to play a finale, that would be really grand.
Sure, let's do a bass solo tune.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I like the idea of a bass solo tune.
One of those, which...
What has bass solo?
Yeah.
He's going to put one in there, Alana.
Okay. We'll
probably go out with another one of those.
You want it?
But it just did something traditional, so we should bounce back to
that. Okay.
The...
You want to do the Cleveland?
Yeah.
Oh, no, do a Western swing too.
Yeah. You take a solo right. on.
I love this part of Alaska Live where we decide the set list on stage here.
Avalon?
Okay.
Avalon.
Right. Nice.
One, two, one, two, three.
My love in Avalon just sailed away. I dream of her and Avalon from dusk till dawn, and so I think let's travel on Avalon and stay.
Over there.
Mr. Whit Smith on the guitar, everybody. Alana James on the fiddle.
Yeah. Ha Yakova Cowtown, thank you so much for being here as guests on KUAC's Alaska Live. It was really fun. And I'd like to thank everybody out there in Radio Land and on the web for listening. Also to John Peralt, sound engineering, Roy O'Banion back in the FM studios, KUAC's Alaska Live film crew, Heather Hintzman, Emily Elterman, and Caleb Souter. And for KUAC's Alaska Live, I'm Lori Neufeld. Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, strengthening the community through support of the arts.